Well, please do take a seat. And you might like to take a hold of a Bible that's in the pew and turn to page 1184. 1184. Welcome to those of you who are visiting us today. You're very welcome to St. Mary's. If you are visiting, you won't have been to any of the other sermons in the series that we've been thinking about this autumn. So just a little bit of an introduction. We have been thinking this autumn together about how we, as Christian people, can be a blessing to others on our front lines. And we've been thinking about those front lines as being the places where God has put us. At home, perhaps at school, in work, caring for a relative, wherever we spend most of our time. Wherever we're going to be this time tomorrow, for example. That is our front line. And that is a place that I think is a very precious place where we can be a blessing to other people. And we've got to the series, the point in the series, where we're thinking today about culture, about how we mould the culture in which God has placed us. Archbishop Derek Warlock, who used to be the Archbishop of Liverpool, once said, "Culture is the way we do things round here." Every family has a culture, doesn't it? A way it does things. Whether that particularly be at Christmas, with your routine on Christmas Day, whatever it is through the year, every family has a culture. Every community has a culture. There's a culture to Ardley and to Dedham and to wherever you've come from. And they're all subtly different. Every workplace has a culture. And for those who've worked in different places, I'm sure you've had to adjust to different cultures. And so the same is true of churches and teams. Every front line. The way we do things round here. And some of that, if we think about the culture, maybe think about where we're going to be this time tomorrow, some of that's good, and some of it's not so good. You'll know that I used to be a chaplain in the army, and I'm still in the reserves. The army culture, or ethos, is summed up in three phrases, or three words. Commitment, self-sacrifice, and mutual trust. And one of the jobs of a chaplain in the army is to actually try and hold the soldiers and their commanders to this ethos of commitment, self-sacrifice, and mutual trust. So I did find myself on occasions challenging people, sometimes quite senior people, as to whether the things that they were proposing or the way they're conducting themselves were in line with that ethos. Sometimes, perhaps, we need to challenge the culture in which we find ourselves. Now, in Jesus' day, there were lots of ways of doing things that he affirmed, like going up to Jerusalem for the festivals. Many, many people did that. Hundreds of thousands of people did that. But there were also things that he criticized, like the Pharisees standing on the market corner and praying just so everybody else could see how super spiritual they were. And there were other things that were neutral, an example for which we had in the gospel reading today. Do you pay your money to Caesar or do you pay your money to God? Well, Jesus said, do both. So we still need to pay our income tax in 2017, and we're still encouraged to give generously to God. But some of the challenges that he made to culture were revolutionary. Take having women amongst his closest disciples. In a culture where a religious Jewish man would have prayed every day, thank you God that I haven't been born a woman. Or like having children sit on his knee. In a culture where children were really just to be used and abused and used for work. And saying, the kingdom of God belongs to these. Our values and our beliefs shape our behaviour. People used to believe, didn't they, that the earth was square. That if you sailed too far out from the shore, you would drop over the edge. And so guess what? People didn't go very far from the shore. until science pointed out that we lived on a spherical globe. And then their behaviour changed. People started to explore the world because they weren't frightened of dropping off the edge. What we believe in affects how we behave. Hopefully by about 10 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be drinking a cocktail in Malta because I'm going on holiday for a week. But I've got to believe in the man who's going to be, or the woman who's going to be flying the plane later on today, and trust that person. What we believe in affects what we do. In the Bible, we find God's people living in a whole host of different cultures that are shaped by very different values. Take Joseph. Joseph of the glorious Technicolor dream coat. He's taken down to the land of Egypt, where the culture worshipped Pharaoh. Take Daniel, who found himself under the capricious dictatorship of a man called Nebuchadnezzar. See if you can spell that. Or Jesus, in a corner of the Roman Empire, under occupation by the Romans. That's where he lived out his life. Or Paul, St. Paul, in occult-ridden Ephesus, and so on. In all those contexts, and in our context, God's people then and now are called to allow God's values, God's word, to shape the culture, to shape the world around us. God prepared his people, having rescued them from Egypt, you'll know. He prepared them to become a distinctive people in the promised land. And so he gave them a long instruction through what we call the books of the law, Deuteronomy, and so on, to guide their thinking in every area of life, from sacrifices to sex, from farming to festivals, from commerce to caring for the poor. Hundreds of years later, when somebody came up to Jesus and said, "What is the summary of the law?" And the law is several pages long. Jesus summed it up in two ways. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." Now, to me, that's not a bad place to start, or indeed to finish, in the way that we try to live out our lives. Gosh, what a different world it would be if everybody did the same. Love God and love other people. Now we have this reading, Colossians chapter 3, where Paul tries to put a bit more flesh on what molding culture might look like. So we're going to have a look at it for a few minutes together. He talks first of all about us needing to have new hearts and new minds in verses 1 to 4. First of all, he says, since then. Whenever you say since then, you're looking back at something. Now, we haven't got time to go through the whole of the book of Colossians. But for those of us who've been journeying through this, and you can pick up the sermons through the website if you haven't heard any of them, we're told in Colossians 1 and 2 some amazing truths about God. That he's rescued us. That he's forgiven us. That Jesus died for us, to help us to be friends with God. This is what God has done. This is the blessing of God. All that he's done for us. And then we're told, with this slightly strange phrase in verse 1, you have been raised with Christ. Well, it's certainly true that Christians believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But how have we been raised? Is it that we're kind of walking on some celestial sort of cloud? Well, I don't know about you, but my life doesn't feel like that most of the time. I feel very rooted on the ground. And life is tough at times. And I'm sure we all experience that. And there will be a whole number of things today that we are experiencing that are difficult in life. Disappointment. Sadness. Grief, frustration, anger, all kinds of things that are very ordinary and earthy experiences. So what does it mean to be raised with Christ? think it means that in a way, although all of that is true, that we experience life in the rawness of reality, that we also, if we put our trust and faith in Jesus, we experience something of the blessing of God in our lives, even in the midst of the mess and the difficulty. That we experience something of the quality of eternal life that Jesus is experiencing now in heaven, where there is no more mourning or crying or pain. I'm sure all of us can give testament to the fact that that is true in our lives. Even in the darkest times, there is light if we believe that God is with us. So St. Paul says to the Colossians, focus on that. Focus on that relationship. Focus on Jesus in your heart. Hold fast to him as the center and the source of your joy. Nothing else is really going to cut it. Then he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, just as I've said, this doesn't mean that we should turn our attention away from earthly things and sort of remove ourselves from real life. Some people have taken this verse to mean the same. And whilst there is huge value in people retreating from life to live in community, perhaps in monastic communities, they have been an enormous blessing to us. It's not for most of us. Most of us are here trying to work out our daily lives as Christian people with all of the challenges of our life. And we can't walk away from things. Paul says in verse 17, do whatever, but do it in the name of God. So it's not about removing ourselves from this life. It's actually about being stuck into the culture in which we find ourselves, but having a different mindset about that. We've all got minds. We've all got brains. We don't need a theology degree to read the Bible. We can meditate on it, chew it over, read it, think about what it's saying to us, and it will help us to ask this question. The next time you're challenged in your culture, whether it's your workplace or home, what would Jesus do in this situation? The more you know of the Bible, the more you know about him and of his life, the easier it will be to make the decisions that he would have made. In another place, in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, allow yourself to be transformed. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so easy, isn't it, that the world that we live in squashes us into a certain expectation, a certain way of doing things. And God says, no, look above, look bigger, look higher. Love God and love other people in a time and place where often that is so undervalued. Thomas Jefferson, US president, says this, in matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. So, in order to mould the culture in which we find ourselves and not be moulded by it, we need, both in our hearts and our minds, to be focused on Jesus Christ. And then that will help us to transform our lives. A new life. There are certain things, Paul says, that we need to put to death. He doesn't mince his words. And there's a litany, a list of those things in verses 5 through to 10. They make for rather uncomfortable reading. I wonder how you rate yourself in relation to some of these things. But then positively, he draws us attention to verse 12. And he's using the image of putting off and putting on. So just as we take clothes off and put them on every day or for different occasions within the day, depending on what we're doing, Paul says you need to take off some things, perhaps that you've been doing, perhaps that have been part of your life, some activities, some behaviours. And you need to put on some other ones, but you'll only be able to do this with God's help. So have a look at the whole of that list. Don't just focus on the negative ones. Look at the positive ones as well. And if you find yourself in a culture where there's lots of greed and immorality and lying and things like that, how can you mould that culture? I don't think you'll be able to do it by criticising other people. People don't take criticism very well, do they? And they tend to then look at us as Christian people and say, you're hypocrites because of this or that. And then we realise that we're not perfect. Of course, he who cast the first stone, as Jesus said. No, I don't think criticising other people is the way to do it. I think the way to do it is simply to live out our lives as best as we can. Really struck me as I was talking with Walter and the family yesterday. Those of you may not be aware, but Liz died this week. Many of you will know Liz. And one of the things that struck me most about the conversation we were having about her was the way that in a quiet, sometimes strong way, but in a very unassuming way, she moulded culture because she was such a blessing to the family that you're here gathered today and to such a wider group of people. And we'll seek to honour that in our memory of her.